Well, this morning, as I was making final adjustments to the sermon, I'd been running around deciding, seeing how much snow there was and calling people and texting people and all that kind of stuff. And then I thought, well, maybe I better check and just make sure that what I have in my notes lines up with what I've given Patty to put up on the screen. And so I opened up the computer to just check that, and it was gone. So all the notes that I had prepared for Patty they disappeared.
A short sermon.
So now, so at that moment, you can imagine what my feeling was. It was pure joy. Because that's what the sermon is about today. So I think God was giving me just a little bit of a test there to see if indeed his joy is always there. So, and really what we need to do to begin with this is to define joy. Because just like the word love, I think that we really misconstrue it many times. And when we talk about love, we're really not talking about what biblical love is. And when we talk about joy, I don't think we're very often talking about really what biblical joy really entails. C.S. Lewis says, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Sam Storms said, "Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God." And then Letha and I have been watching this English detective series on TV, on the BBC. And they use joy in the sense of success. So when the guys are out investigating someone or interviewing someone, they'll ask, "Was there any joy there?" And I thought, well, that's kind of a strange way to use that word. But what they're asking is, did you get anywhere? Did you learn anything? Is this going to advance the investigation? Is there any joy there? And I thought, well, that's maybe a little bit more in line with what the biblical definition of joy really is. Is there success? Is there progression? Is there security in your relationship with God? I looked at several commentaries, several people's definitions of the of biblical joy, and this is kind of what I came up with. It is a profound sense of security and pleasure that is rooted in one's relationship with God rather than external circumstances. It is described as a feeling of good pleasure that comes from the Holy Spirit and is characterized by inner contentment and satisfaction, regardless of life's challenges. Unlike fleeting happiness, which is what I think we usually equate joy with, giggles and smiles and bubbles and stuff. Biblical joy is a deep and abiding sense of fulfillment that transcends circumstances, originating from faith and trust in God. In the biblical context, joy is often associated with an internal gladness that reflects God's favor and his presence in our lives. Now, we can say that, but still, when we hear the word joy, I default right back to happiness. I just want to be happy. We think about smiling. We think about, that feeling of euphoria that might come over us. Now, that joy is, of course, a beautiful emotion, and we love it when it comes upon us. I think it's, many times it's what we seek, but it is a feeling that often fades. Almost as quickly as it comes, it seems to fade. We can be ecstatic about going on a vacation or when you're laughing with friends, there's no better feeling really than, you know, having a good laugh, and we all appreciate that. However, that type of feeling, that type of joy is just a feeling, and it can leave us as quickly as it came. Whereas biblical joy is a different kind of joy. It is one that continually abides with us. The biblical definition of joy, then, is a feeling of good pleasure and security that is dependent upon who Jesus is, rather than who we are or what is happening in our life circumstances. I think joy is a gift. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it is found when we are abiding in God's presence. Because it is dependent on Jesus and God's presence with us in the Holy Spirit, biblical joy is accessible to us no matter what our circumstances are, even in the worst of times. It is something that cannot be taken away from us. John 16:22 says this, "And ye therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one can take away from you." So as I was reloading this, it defaulted to the American Standard Version, which has the ye's and these in it. But the important thing here, this is a joy that no one taketh away from you. It is something that is to be abiding in our lives, even in the midst of sorrow or grief or turmoil, whatever trouble you might be facing. But again, we probably confuse joy. It is so ingrained in our minds, at least in mine, that joy is equal to happiness. But Jesus is not talking to his disciples about their happiness. He is talking to them about himself. The joy that that the disciples found, the joy that we can find, is found in abiding in Jesus, in being in relationship with him. So, biblical joy is found in knowing Jesus. In order to have the joy that is found in the Lord, we have to know who he is. And this goes back to the reason that we went through the series on talking about his attributes, about who God is, what he's like, about going through the spiritual disciplines of the things that we can do to get to know him better, to study his word, to study the word, to pray, to meditate, to fast, to do these things in order that we might know who he is, that we might be in relationship with him, so that we can be more like him, that we can really experience what biblical love is, what biblical faithfulness is, what joy is. He has saved us for a life of freedom and joy with him. Philippians 4:4, very common verse, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." And again, I think the key to this verse is in the Lord. We have to be walking with him. We have to have our hand in his hand. And then, even in the midst of turmoil or struggles, we can have that kind of joy. A little bit later on in Philippians chapter 4, he talks about granting to us a peace that transcends understanding or goes beyond understanding, a peace, a joy that does not make sense. It especially does not make sense to the world, but it makes sense when we are walking with the Lord. He offers contentment in any situation, and through that we can even experience psychological and emotional healing in his presence. He gives us joy. Jesus has saved us from the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of light. We don't have to wait until heaven to experience these things. We can begin to get a grasp on these things even now, as we spend time worshiping the Lord, as we talk to Him, as we spend time in His Word, listening to Him, and as we serve Him. These, I think, are the keys to joy in our life. Now, we may not want to hear this. We never want to hear about exercise. But this is something much like physical exercise. We need to practice it. We need to do it. We need to be faithful in it. We need to gain experience. We have to practice abiding in the Lord, trusting Him, in order that we can experience His joy. We have to develop trust. And the only way you can develop trust is by taking steps in a certain direction, finding out what works, what doesn't work, by increasing our relationship with the Lord, by giving things to the Lord and seeing if He does not prove Himself faithful, which He will. At some of the hardest times in my life, when happiness was certainly not characterizing my life, but there were certain times when heartache was probably more the prevalent characteristic in my life. I didn't feel peace. I didn't feel joy. I felt, worry and fret. But I hung on to the Lord. I knew enough about the Lord that I was going to trust Him and hang on. John chapter 6, verse 68, I think the disciples were at a very similar point in their lives when Jesus had put forth some very hard teaching. And many of the people that had been following Him because He was a popular figure had to make a choice. Are we going to continue to follow this Jesus guy because He feeds us? Or are we going to follow Him, even and take on these teachings that He's saying where we need to forsake ourselves, die to ourselves, and follow Him? And so the Lord asked Peter, He asked all the disciples, are you guys going to leave too? And Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life. And so even though the circumstances in my life were not happy circumstances, this is what it came down to. Where else am I going to go? Who has the words of life? Who has the answers besides the Lord? And in that, we can find biblical joy. I had built enough of a foundation in my life at that time. I'd been a Christian already for many years when I was going through the situation that I'm thinking about. And I had, by that time, experienced God's faithfulness. I'd seen Him walk with me through other situations. I knew enough about His Word. I had been faithful in church. I had Christian friends. And they all provided for me an anchor that even in the midst of a storm, I could throw that anchor out. And although the boat was being rocked around terribly, the anchor held. And there was a certain joy in that. And now, by that experience, more and more, certainly not perfectly, but better, I am able to increasingly trust God with my life and know that He is still on the throne, that He is at work, and I think that that is biblical joy. But there's no way of truly knowing who Jesus is and what He can do unless we read and study the Bible and then also put it into practice. Biblical joy is found when we put our faith in God's Word and we act upon it. God's Word is His revelation to us. It's His gift to us. That's where we get to know Him and we begin to bask, soak in His presence, no matter what is going on in our life. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As we read Scripture, He enlightens us. He shows us the path, and in his presence is that fullness of joy. God's word makes the path of life visible to us, and it is alive and active. It is infused with truth, with hope, and with joy. If you get one of those vitamin drinks or an energy drink, what it'll say on there is what it is infused with. You know, it's infused with vitamins and energy and all kinds of good stuff. Well, God's word is infused with truth, with hope, and with joy. God says in his word that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he will strengthen us, he will comfort us, he will bring us peace, that he is near to the brokenhearted, that he wants to bless us, and that he wants to keep us close to him. But we need to know that. We need to read that and own that. We need to make that part of us and believe it, that God will never leave us or forsake us, that he does want to comfort us, that he does want to bring us peace and joy. So that's why it's so important to know God's promises, to be reading the scripture, even just small portions on a daily basis, but to know it and to then claim it. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we believe the word, as we learn of it, as we know it, as we own it, as we memorize it, God can fill you with all joy and with peace. And we don't have to do this on our own. God is with us. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us, to guide us into all grace and truth as we read the scripture. So, biblical joy empowers endurance. We don't necessarily always equate joy with endurance. We equate endurance with it is what empowers us to endure, to remain faithful. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." That's as we abide in God, God will strengthen us. Jesus knew that by trusting in his Father's plan, there was a greater joy coming for him than he had yet to experience. And that joy, I think, is sort of like a growing tree. You see that tree on your bulletin. It starts out small, but that tree over time, as experience and trust is placed in the Lord, that tree grows and comes to fruition, bears fruit, is strong, and you know, stands against the winds. Now, in a moment here, I'm going to read a verse which you've probably heard before, but I want you to, for a moment, to forget you've ever heard it before. It's really not that hard. Okay, so the verse starts out like this. It says, "For the joy set before him, blank." Okay, now I want you to put yourself into that sentence. For the joy set before you, what would you do? If you were seeking joy, what is it that you would do? Would you read a book? Watch TV, go to a concert, maybe go to a game, maybe you would eat, that's probably what I would do, maybe you'd take a nap. How would you fill in that blank? If you wanted to experience joy, I would. Everybody got something in your mind? Of course, I know you guys are all super spiritual, so you're not going to give me the answers I'm looking for. But what Jesus did, it says, for the joy that lay before him, or that was set before him, he endured the cross. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of God, on the right hand of the throne of God. That is not necessarily I don't think the natural response to the question of how can I find joy in my life? I'm going to go to the cross. But Jesus had his eyes on the future. And this is why we cannot just classify joy as purely an emotional response. Joy is something that we have to decide that we're going to work for. It boils down to a relationship with Jesus and being firmly established in our relationship with him. It is challenging, but we must remove that emotional idea of the word joy. And even though it doesn't always feel good, and even though we may be feeling the opposite of the happiness joy at times, it is one thing that inspires Christians to endure, to know that I am walking with God, that I am in his will, and that I am desiring to do his will. We have to think of the early church believers and even those today who are in very difficult situations where they're facing persecution, where they're facing hardship, and yet they endure. And the way that they endure, I think, is by trusting in God, by proclaiming the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus could have called down angels from heaven to save him from the cross, but he didn't. And why? Because he knew the joy that was set before him. He was looking for the day when he would experience that joy in his Father's presence with us. His joy was for us. If Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, you wouldn't be going to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. We, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, you have joy, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Peter is writing to some people who were being persecuted, who were undergoing very difficult times, and yet they were people that were rejoicing because they had salvation. One of my sisters went on a missions trip, went on several times to Africa, where she was working with a group of women who had been sex trafficked. But they had been rescued and then had given their lives to Jesus. And the thing that so impressed my sister and consequently impressed me in her sharing this story with me was that although these women had basically been robbed of everything, you know, including their dignity, they'd been used and abused, she said that they had a tremendous joy in their salvation, that they rested in that, knowing that there was a future joy that they would walk into where they would be totally made new, totally redeemed. And so it was their treasure. Their salvation was their treasure, and they lived now because of the joy that was set before them. And I think that is really the hallmark of Christian joy. Even when it doesn't make sense in this world, even when we are suffering, joy is possible through the Holy Spirit because Jesus has saved us for an eternity with him. So the importance of biblical joy is something that we cannot deny. It's something that we need to embrace. Jesus came to the earth, which we are now going to start celebrating with the coming of Easter. He came to people that never thought it would be possible to experience joy and freedom. His upside-down kingdom has brought joy to the blind, the sick, the naked, the brokenhearted, the outcasts, the sinners, the addicted, the selfish, and to you and me. Without biblical joy, we'd be left to rely on our own circumstances in life to make us happy and to bring us joy. And that would be like riding a roller coaster. That would work out great when things are going great, but not so well when times get hard. We have a joy that we can hold on to in Christ. We have a joy that we can hold on to no matter what is going on in our lives. A joy that is always accessible to us. That joy is not found anywhere else other than in a relationship with Jesus. Biblical joy equals relationship with Jesus. Even in the darkest, hardest, and most chaotic times of our lives, Jesus is there. He is offering his hand, and that is biblical joy. My hand in God's hand. The Bible is full of stories of real people's brokenness and hardships, yet somehow it is also filled with songs of praise to God and stories of incredible hope and joy. And I think today all of us can find lasting joy in God's Word and by asking the Holy Spirit for help. Because of this, biblical joy is accessible to us even in the worst of times and is found in having a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll close by reading Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to walk alongside you and that you have desired to walk alongside us. Lord, I pray that you would fill our lives with the assurance that you are there, that you will never leave us or forsake us, something, Lord, that we can eternally trust in, and that brings us joy. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.